One of these books has a picture. It's called the Parliamentary Army Bible. And what it was about 12 pages long, and it had the Ten Commandments in it, and several other commandments from the Old Testament that related to war, to encourage them to be Christian and to fight. So that was the first approximately 20 years of his life. Next section of his life moved to marriage and on to his imprisonment. He married somewhere between 1648 and 1649. Now, Bunyan was extremely poor. You don't make much tinkering. All right? But he did have a wife who had a godly father. And her dowry was two books that greatly influenced Bunyan's life. One was called The Plain Man's Pathway to Heaven, and the other was The Practice of Piety, or Holy Living. At this time in his life, as happens to some who marry, he began to settle down a little bit and became very religious. He attended the Anglican Church very faithfully. And remember, the Puritans were part of the Anglican Church. They were trying simply to reform it and improve it. Regarding his conversion, he sat under the ministry of a man by the name of Gifford. And Gifford's messages had a lot to influence him and prepare him and sow the gospel in his heart. His conversion began with a conviction by one of Gifford's sermons on Sunday sports. This is almost like the 21st century too. And having heard that sermon as he played, he said it was as if a voice came from heaven and said, "Will you leave your sins and go to heaven? Or have your sins and go to hell?" I don't know if he was having a bad game that day or what, but his conscience was pricked. He began to reform outwardly, as most unconverted people do when they start to get under conviction. He ceased cursing. See what a good man I am? I can stop anytime I want. He started reading the Bible, and he struggled inwardly for over a year. And you're going to see that in Pilgrim's Progress. He doesn't just go like that to the wicket gate and then like that and have the burden fall off. He goes through agony. Agony in the city of destruction, trying to convince people that God's judgment was going to fall and they should flee the wrath to come. Agony under that burden, he falls into the slough of despond. And Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress is telling you about the intense spiritual struggle he went through before he was converted in his life. It went over a period of a year. He had a daughter born in July of 1650, probably during the time in which he was going through this inward struggle. Her name was Mary, and she was born blind. That again touched his heart. He had very tender affections toward his daughter, but her blindness had quite an impact upon him. He was led to the Puritan Free Church of Bedford. That occurred by his hearing a conversation of three or four poor women discuss the new birth. You know, as he was going around with his tinkering job, he heard these three ladies talking about the new birth, and just their talking with each other convicted him more. That reformation of his life, stopping cursing, reading the Bible, was not enough. He was introduced to Pastor John Gifford in 1651, and he came to the assurance of his salvation in 1653. So you can see that his conversion was an event, but it was a process where God just ripped his heart apart in numerous ways and then put it back together again. As far as his family, his wife evidently continued in the Anglican Church when he ceased to attend there. He had another daughter born, Elizabeth, in 1654. He had a stillborn. And then in 1658, his son Thomas was born. And that year, his first wife died. And his second wife that he married, likewise, was a very devoted Christian. And her name was Elizabeth, but she was still Anglican. She would not attend the Puritan Free Church of Bedford. Well, Pastor Gifford died in about 1655, and Bunyan continued on in that church. He grew much in knowledge. He accompanied preaching elders to the villages. As these fellows would go out and preach, he'd go along with them. And pretty soon he began to speak, and God significantly blessed his speaking. He began to draw large crowds. His first published writing was in 1656. It was called Gospel Truths Opened, and it was a polemic or an attack on Quakerism and what was wrong with it. In 1657, he was appointed a deacon in the church. And if you remember, about 1660 was when the king began to lay down laws against those who were not part of the Anglican Church. And so in 1660, Bunyan refused to conform to the Anglican Church and its prayer book, and probably also because of his involvement with Cromwell and the Parliamentarian army. There was probably some royalist revenge against Bunyan, and the judge condemned him to jail. What's interesting is God has a sense of humor. In Psalm 2 it says, why do the heathen rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing? God sits in heaven and laughs. This judge had three daughters who later became members of Bunyan's pastorate. God has a sense of humor. So he's off to jail. He is 32 years old, and he's in jail for preaching outside the Anglican Church. He's not ordained by the church. He doesn't use the church's prayer book. He holds meetings, and so he ended up in jail. Just a few other interesting pictures. This is probably the place of Bunyan's baptism at the River Ouse. That's the plaque that says he was baptized here. It's like the newspaper. If it says it's so, it's so. It's kind of like a little canal or maybe a small river that goes into the main river. And evidently he was baptized there by Gifford. This is one of the bridges that goes across the river, and this marker is at one end of it. I don't know if you can read that, but it says on the shallow last of the name of the bridge stood the stone house where Bunyan was imprisoned 1675, 1676, and wrote the first part of the Pilgrim's Progress. So that's one of the places he was incarcerated, right along the river in a jail there. I got another picture there for you if that's... He was put in a jail that was kind of a two-story jail. This is the upward story. The bottom one was underground. It was dank, wet, smelly, infested, total darkness. The ground floor had two day rooms, and these were sleeping cells for the felons. or the felon slept down below. Basically, the top one was reserved for debtors. A day room was used as a chapel. Their food was really poor. Sanitation was incredible. There was no fireplaces, so no heat in the wintertime. They slept on straw. The conditions became crowded with nonconformists. At one time, there were over 60 of the nonconformists that were confined here with Bunyan. And one of the writers about his life, again, says God has an amusing sense of humor, because the reason he was in jail was for holding gospel meetings out in the country. And now by all these people being in the jail, he has gospel meetings right in town, totally contrary to all the laws. And they let him do it for some reason. There was a small backyard for him to exercise in. And it's very amazing that he survived it all. And he was in here for almost 12 years. But not only did he survive, he was able to write. And his first imprisonment was when he wrote Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners and several other books. He had opportunities to preach. One of the things he did when he was in jail was to make shoelaces that his daughter Mary would come and take the shoelaces and sell them, and that's how he supported his family while he was in jail. A couple of anecdotes for you that, again, are really amazing. Bunyan was quite a musician. Maybe get the right book. There it is. Before he was in jail, I don't know if I didn't make this a picture, he made his own violin.
Wow.
And he loved music. And you can see some of that in Pilgrim's Progress. Every now and then he'll throw in a little tiny poem. And his apology or his defense for Pilgrim's Progress is all metrical, rhyming. But while he was in the jail, evidently he had some time that he wasn't reading and writing. Faith Cook says this: one day the prisoner had an idea. If he removed one leg from his stool, hollowed it out, and noticed and notched it in the correct places, he could make an acceptable flute. Then he heard the jailer approaching, and he only had to slip the leg quickly back into place. Where's that flute music coming from? So he did that while he was incarcerated. Early on, he was somewhat of a model prisoner. He had several jail keepers while he was there. And here's what happened early on with one of these jailers. It says, there's a well-known story of Bunyan in his early prison days that on one occasion, when the jailer gave him liberty to go out, he was seized with a spirit of misgiving and came back before he was expected. He had not returned long before one of the magistrates came to inquire if all the prisoners were in, and especially if John Bunyan was safe. The jailer, immensely relieved at being able to produce John Bunyan for inspection, told him he might go out when he liked, for he surely knew better than the jailer when to return. News of John's ventures abroad, however, was soon known to the authorities, and the jailer was threatened with dire punishment if they continued. Other jailers came and went through Bunyan's 12 years in prison, some kind, others harsh, but there was no more preaching outside. Very interesting. As you go through this, you'll find some of those jailers in his story. One of them is named Giant Despair. And you'll hear about him later on in Pilgrim's Progress. All of this imprisonment of Bunyan was simply for his conscience' sake. He could have got out of prison at any time. All he had to do was to say, "I will not preach." And he could go free. "I will go to the Anglican church and worship." He'd be free. His family wouldn't suffer. He'd be free. His wife and many others of his friends tried to appeal for his release over and over again, but for 12 years there was no success. He was released in 1672 by a declaration of indulgence. He was officially pardoned, and that was aimed at the Catholics, but it included everybody. No religious imprisonment anymore. Following that, in 1672, he was called to be the pastor of the Bedford Church, where Gifford had been the pastor, and he was the pastor of that church for the remainder of his life, which was about 8 years. There was in 1675, that declaration of indulgence was repealed, and Bunyan was imprisoned again for 6 months. And that's when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, at least part one. Part two was written after he was out of jail, which deals with Christiana and his children and others. He was freed from prison that he preached and wrote for the rest of his life, pastored and wrote around Bedford. And again, he ended up writing about 40 books. Most of his books were compilations of his sermons. On August of 1688, he was on his way to a preaching place, and while there, he was asked to intercede between a man and his son to reconcile them. See if I can find some notes about that for you. August 19th, he preached his last sermon from John 1:13. Do you know what that verse says? Most people know John 1:12. As many as believed in him, as many as received him, as many as believed in him, how'd it go? But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There we go. The next verse says, which are born not of the Spirit, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That tells you his theology in a nutshell, what he believes about the new birth. That is caused by God. Yes, we receive it, but it's caused by God. That was his last sermon. He went to intervene at this house, riding horse, and on the way back he was in a drenching rain, and he developed an illness, violent fever that lasted for 10 days. And as a result of that, died and finished his journey. Here's the front piece of his first edition. Generally, the book is known as Pilgrim's Progress, but he was a typical Puritan. His titles are this long. There's some others that have done a Pilgrim's Progress and used this part of it, Dangerous Journey. But the full title was The Pilgrim's Progress from This World to That Which Is to Come, Delivered Under the Similitude of a Dream, Wherein Is Discovered the Manner of His Setting Out, His Dangerous Journey, and Safe Arrival at the Desired Country. That's the title of his book. Okay, we just call it Pilgrim's Progress. You can see the old English lettering there. The Pilgrims, it's not progress. That's the way they would do an S that's not at the end of the sentence.
It comes from that old German.
Okay. Some other interesting. You can see that it's not the matter of his fetting out, it's his setting out, or it's not discovered, it's discovered. His dangerous journey. Yeah. And safe arrival at, it's not defired. Heaven's no place where there's no fire. It's desired. And country, R-U-I instead of just R-Y. So that was the front piece of his first edition. It went through, I think, either 7 or 8 editions during his lifetime. That's how quickly it caught on. And one of the things we told you, I think, last week was that Bunyan, because he believed in the regulative principle and tried to practice that diligently, that if the Bible's clear on it, I'm clear. If the Bible's not clear on it, I'm not clear. If the Bible doesn't say it, I'm not for it. That's what made his book so well accepted, because he didn't focus on what we would call denominational distinctives. There are some attacks in here, and you'll see that as we read it. He comes across one place where he finds two giants that are no longer powerful, at least at that point. And one of them's name is Pagan, and the other's name is Pope. But essentially, this book was written so that any evangelical Christian can enjoy it. Arminians might not enjoy some of the strong Calvinistic influence, but as far as describing the Christian life, any evangelical would find this delightful to read. This is Bunyan's grave. It's located in a place called Bunhill Fields, which is in northern London, between Bedford and London. It was a cemetery for nonconformists and others used from about the 1660s to 1854. That was when the last burial was made. That's quite a burial thing, isn't it? Does it remind you of any scripture? Woe unto you, Pharisees! You whitewash the tombs. You speak highly of those who went before you. You honor them. They weren't honored when they were alive, but you honor them as if you're better. That's supposed to be a model of Bunyan, or, you know, Bunyan laying down on top. There's a lot of other famous people buried around him. Have you ever heard of a man named Daniel Defoe?
Yeah.
You know what he was known for?
Robinson Crusoe.
Daniel Defoe was a believer, and he's buried very near to where Bunyan's grave is, in Bunhill Fields in northern London.
There's a neat church across the street from that too.
Been there? Seen it? Good. That's the end of the slideshow. I guess I pulled at Orion. It's 10:15 and I'm done. Unless you have any questions you'd like to ask about Bunyan. Again, I would encourage you, if you're really interested, to get one of these books. I'll leave them up here if you want to take a look at them. This one doesn't have any pictures. It's good. This one doesn't have any pictures, but it covers not only his life, it covers his books. It covers his theology. This one's real good, but it doesn't have pictures. This is the best. It's got pictures. And you can see it covers a lot more. Bill?
Why was he put in prison for that 6 months, the last time that he was put there?
Because the degree that had set him free was rescinded. It was canceled, and so he was put back in prison. That was near the end of that king's reign. And when he was done, they brought in King William and Mary, and they basically stayed under the control of Parliament from then on, and there was a decree of tolerance from that point on, and the suffering and imprisonments basically stopped. It's either James II or Charles II. I think it may have been Charles II, who was lenient towards the Catholic Church and supportive. But even though William and Mary were still somewhat that direction, they did not have the authority any longer. that was ended. With at least three children and living on selling shoestrings, you can about guess what the poverty would be. Yes, they had a house, but it was a... One of the books has a picture of it. It wasn't anything to brag about. It wouldn't be in Better Homes and Gardens. I think that's one of the reasons why, in a practical sense, Bunyan didn't speak out against issues on baptism. He did have one tract that he produced as to why baptism is not a bar to communion. And that doesn't make Baptists happy. Baptists want to claim John Bunyan, but that's one area that they want to distance themselves from. Most Baptists believe you cannot receive communion until you've had immersion. And if you haven't been biblically immersed, biblically baptized, you cannot receive communion. But he did not take a position on that. He said, if you're a believer, you can come to our table. The Lord's table. He wouldn't bar someone simply because of a lack of believer's baptism. Again, I would encourage you to pick up one of these, not mine, to pick up one of these biographies and read them. It will give you a lot of insights into his life, and it'll help you appreciate Pilgrim's Progress as you read it. Incidentally, your assignment for next week, if you now have a copy of Pilgrim's Progress, it should have, right at the beginning of it, something called his apology. The author's apology for this book. And it's not him saying, I'm sorry, I wrote it. It's his defense as to why he wrote it. Because when he did first write it, or undertook to write it, there were many who said, you shouldn't do that. And they didn't think it was a wise thing for him to write in this way. But he did. And he tells you here why he did it, how he did it, what his objectives were. And it's really interesting. It's a poem. It's meant to rhyme. And that's what we'll cover next week. Okay, so I encourage you. To, if you don't have a copy, get a copy of it, start reading it. Go ahead and start reading Pilgrim's Progress, but next week we'll look at his apology, his defense as to why he wrote it, what it is, why he chose to write it the way he did. It's an allegory, and a lot of people don't like allegories because they can mean anything. But he doesn't leave any doubts as to what he means by his allegory. I mean, it's very, very clear. So that's your assignment for next week. I did have a sheet with questions on it, but I don't know what I'm going to be like 10 years from now, but I forgot it this morning.
How old were you when he died?
Pardon?
How old were you when he died?
60.
Well, he lived longer than Calvin did.
Okay. But he didn't live out his 70 years, or by strength, 80. And he discovered a lot of things. When we studied Philippians, he discovered a lot of things from Philippians. That his going to jail turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Had he not been in jail, where would he have had time to sit down and think and write? Like he did. Bunyan basically had two main books in his library while he was in jail. Maybe three. But his two main books was his Bible and a concordance. So he could look up verses. His knowledge of the scripture is just absolutely phenomenal. And if you have not the modern English version, although you'll still see it there too, but if you have one of what was the standard versions, you'll be going across words and saying, man, I think that sounds like it's from the Bible. And it is. I mean, his side notes that he puts in here, he only does maybe about 25% of the scriptures in the margins that's in this book. I mean, it's just saturated with Scripture. This man read the Scriptures and read the Scriptures and read the Scriptures. He had another favorite book, which was Fox's Book of Martyrs. Have any of you read Fox's Book of Martyrs? If you haven't, you should. It'll make you throw up. It is very graphic and very vivid. It covers the persecution of Christians from the first century up to probably about the 16th century. It could have a lot added to it since then. There have probably been more martyrs for the faith in the last century than there was in the first 19 centuries. Many of them being in places like Russia and China that have suffered for the faith and died. But those were his books. And you'll see Voice of the Martyrs, or not Voice of the Martyrs. You'll see that next Saturday if you come to the missions conference. But Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll see that kind of scattered through Pilgrim's Progress as well. Especially a man named Faithful at Vanity Fair. Well, let's pray and we'll conclude for today. Father in heaven, thank you for faithful men and women. Thank you for your work of salvation in their hearts to deliver them from their sins and to give them a hunger and a thirst to know you and to testify for you no matter what the cost. And I do thank you for people like John Bunyan, who for conscience sake refused to compromise and committed himself to whatever your will was. And we thank you, Father, that through this man's life you've given us many books, many sermons to meditate on and think on, to learn from. Just as we see in Hebrews 11, so many victors who lived by faith and left a testimony, so Bunyan lived by faith in Christ and has left a testimony to encourage and strengthen us. And I pray, Father, that as we work through his Pilgrim's Progress, that you'll cause us to grow in our understanding of the Christian life, how we become a Christian, how we live the Christian life, the trials that we have to go through. And thank you, Father, that the end of the journey is the celestial city where your saints are received with joy and are delivered from all suffering. So bless our studies together, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.